It's good to see everybody here. We've been gone a while, and it's actually more here today than I thought would be because there are a lot of people on the road and at various events and activities. And what I'd like to do today is not what I had in mind because of the events of the past couple of weeks. What I had been preparing, just I guess when inside you don't feel good about something, it's probably not appropriate. So as Sharon and I were talking, I thought I'd do something different today, in that there's a lot of questions going on out there about why. Even hearing today, not knowing Rob had died, all the time and effort, hearing about the Cox family, and of course the tragedy with little Micaiah Rail. We can question and we can doubt and we can ask, and we, as Rick said in the prayer, we have to have the confidence and the faith that God, He knows what He's doing, and we have to accept that. One of the things that a friend that we met at the feast, hope to maintain the relationship, said that on the Sabbath day, he never asked anything for himself of God. It was a day to praise God. And that was his philosophy. He says, I ask a lot of things during the course of the week, but on the Sabbath, his prayers are to praise God. And so what I would like to do today, we don't have to take a long time to do it, but I would like us to read a bunch of Psalms. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And as you read through the Psalms, they covered all the gamut of God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You've abandoned me. You've left me all alone. To rejoicing, but there are lots of psalms of praise. And I think, and again, a lot of the stuff that when I do talk about it, it's on my heart, that I need to be in a more praiseworthy attitude right now to God. And if some of you might have some of the thoughts that I've had of just saying, what's going on here? When you see the love and the desire and the hope that people have for babies, or a father with eight children. I mean, and we can doubt and question ourselves right into a bad attitude or questioning God. Because God is defined as love. And at times it's hard to see how this is love, but nonetheless, that's who God is. He is love. And so what I would like you to be thinking about as I start, I'd like to read a couple of psalms, but ask you if you've got a favorite psalm that you go to, but especially ones of praise. And when you look at how the book of Psalms is divided, it's typically in three different segments. And starting in chapter 107 or Psalm 107, those are traditionally shown as Psalms of David, who are praise psalms. Here's family outside. Do you want to go check on them? So that is what we've got, is psalms of praise, and to go through that, and we would like to just start there. And I was going to start though in Psalm 100. And so if you've got any psalms that you would like to, hi, welcome. If you would like to do that, that's what I would like to do for the next while, is just read psalms of praise, because I think that's what our response should be. You know, we can read in Colossians, whatever, it says, at all times and in all circumstances, give thanks to God. And there are times when we see and hear about all the tragedies and experience the tragedies because we know the people so well. It's is our attitude, is our response, giving thanks to God. So I'd like to start by reading Psalm 100. It's actually entitled A Psalm of Thanksgiving. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Eternal, all the earth. Worship the Eternal with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Eternal is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And here's what's, I think, especially noteworthy. It says that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. And I think that's a very direct commandment to us as we pray, that we want to go into the Holy of Holies. We want to come before His throne. It says, if you want to come into my gates, you do it with thanksgiving. If you want to come into my courts, you do it with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Eternal is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. David recognized that. Those are promises. Those are attributes that we can count on from God. Let me jump over to Psalm 103. I've got a few picked out that I would like to read, and then if somebody's got their own favorite psalm. But it's to get our mind on that God is praiseworthy, that He does love us, and that He does an awful lot for us, even when we don't understand why things happen. In Psalm 103, verse 1, we read, "Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Eternal, O my soul, and do not forget all of His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with His steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies us with good as long as we live, so that our mouth is renewed like the eagle's. The Eternal works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made His ways known to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Eternal is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." And that is something that I think too often we minimize, that if He were truly just, we would have no hope, because justice demands our life. But He is merciful and gracious. He does not deal, as I read in verse 10, with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Eternal has compassion for those who fear Him. For He knows how we're made, He remembers that we are dust. And as for mortals, our days are like the grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Eternal is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Eternal has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Eternal, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, obedient to His spoken word. Bless the Eternal, all His hosts, His ministers that do His will. Bless the Eternal, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Eternal, O my soul." And I think as we start reading psalms like this in times of tragedy, in times of questioning, in times of doubt, it's to help us be reminded that we're not alone. These are the psalms, the cries, the praises, the outlook of a man who was after God's own heart. And when you look at the life of David, the tragedies that he experienced, the sins that he committed, the events that went through his life, that he reflects the same thoughts, the same attitudes, the same concerns. And yet David knew that he had to praise God for his goodness and his greatness. Let me jump way back to Psalm 136, and then I'll ask somebody if they've got a psalm that they want to read. You know, the theme of this psalm is the never-ending story of God's love, because again, God is defined as love. In Psalm 136, we read, "O give thanks to the Eternal, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. O give thanks to the Eternal of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever." There's a theme here, that all that God has done, all that He has created is an outward demonstration of His steadfast love, unchanging love, enduring love. And in verse 10 we read, "Who struck Egypt through their firstborn, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. And killed famous kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to His servant Israel, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever. And He rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. O give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever." And I think David is just trying to emphasize God's steadfast love for all of us. He is solid. He is constant. He is love. And at times like this, we can question, is God really love? How does He? And David is saying, look what He does for us. Look what He has done. All flesh gets food. Mankind, evil and good, are allowed to eat. The sun, the rain, we experience the same beautiful sunshine today, regardless of our estate. And so, I've got some others, but has somebody got a favorite psalm that they like to read, Sharon?
There are a few. Oh, thanks.
Psalm 63?
Yes, but, whoa. There. Is that better? Okay.
I wanted to start in Psalm 61 and just read a couple verses in Psalm 61, 62, and 63. Okay. So Psalm 61, the first few verses. O God, listen to my cry, hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. And verse 7, may the king reign under God's protection forever. May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him. Then I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. And 62:1, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. And then verse 5, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. And then 63:1. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. I just love those verses there.
It reminds me of David. I forget what psalm it is, but he basically says, if I die, God, who will praise you? That was his attitude. If I die, who will praise you? Eileen.
I read it this morning. It's Psalm 115. And, well, at least I think maybe there's a couple places where it says that. But okay. 115 says it toward the end of it, and it says, I will praise you forever. People in the grave are not going to praise you. It's toward the end.
Yep, verse 17, the dead do not praise the eternal, nor do any that go down into silence, but we will bless the eternal from this time on and forevermore.
And praise the Lord, the last words of it. It just so happens I read that this morning. So, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give thanks because of your mercy, because of your truth. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And people's idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Their throats do not speak. Their hands don't do anything. They just sit there and do nothing. So everyone who trusts in them, so is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, just like you read about, you know, enduring forever, enduring forever.
Tom.
I guess I like Psalm 139. I think it shows how intimately aware God is of each and every one of us. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is anything wicked, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Anybody else have a psalm that they go to or that comes to them? Because it is, we sing them all the time. I mean, we sing them. That they, most of these were put to music. So, Gary?
I'm reading in Psalm 40, and I'm just going to read the last few verses because it's a real long one. Starting in verse, I think, 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is insatiable. Inscrutable, whatever. He gave strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Through youth, though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I heard something about eagles once that was interesting, and I'm not sure it's a fact. I just heard it over the radio. But the guy said eagles have been seen as high as 20,000 feet. There's no air up there. But airplanes have seen them flying, that's what he said. And so they did some research to try and figure out how and why they can even breathe. And they came to the conclusion that they can put their wings out on heat thermos, and the heat going up will carry them up without having to spend any energy at all, or very little, let's put it that way. And God takes care of us when our energy is weak.
Well, maybe We can go to the longest psalm and read through that, because again, it's the theme throughout here is God's word is true and wonderful. Talks about staying true to God and His word no matter how bad the world becomes. And obedience to God is the only way to achieve real happiness. And so I think that these verses apply to us today as much as they apply to the time that they were written. And so I would ask somebody, you want to read the first 16 verses of Psalm 119? Eileen, do you want to read the first 16 verses of Psalm 119? Then we'll have somebody else read.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and contemplate Your ways. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word.
How about 17 through 24? Somebody want to volunteer to read that? How about Tom? Then Lindsay, if you'd read a section after that.
This is the New Revised Standard Version. Deal doubtfully with Your servants so that I may live and observe Your word. Open my eyes so that I may behold the wondrous things of Your law. I live as an alien in the land. Do not hide Your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for Your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from Your commandments. Take away from me their scorn and contempt, for I have kept Your decrees. Even though princes sit plotting against me, Your servant will meditate on Your statutes. Your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors.
Would you mind reading through 32?
My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken Thou me according to Thy word. I have declared my ways, and Thou heartest me. Teach me Thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of Thy prophets. So shall I talk of Thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen Thou me according unto Thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me Thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have struck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of Thy commandments when Thou shalt enlarge my heart.
And while we pass the mic, Sharon, would you read next? But I'm going to read 33 through 40. It says, teach me, O Eternal, the way of Your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep Your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of Your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to Your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See how I have longed for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life. Sharon, would you read 41 through 48?
Yes. Sorry, I lost my place. Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands, how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees.
Gary, would you mind reading 49 through 56?
Remember the word to your servant. This is from the New American Standard. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has received me. The arrogant utterly deride me. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked. For you who forsook your law, your statutes and your songs, in the house of my pilgrimage, O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts.
Lori, would you mind reading 57 through 64?
You are my portion, O God. I have said that I would keep your words. I have looked for your favor with all my heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am the companion of all who fear me, or of all who fear you, and of those who keep your commandments. O God, the earth is full of your mercy. Teach me your law.
Clay, would you mind keeping going, 65 through 72?
You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might turn to your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Alan, would you mind reading some? 73 through 80.
Your hands made me, informed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May my heart be built blameless toward your decrees, that I may not be put to shame.
Rick, would you mind reading some? 81 to 88?
It's from New King James. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth.
Bill, would you mind reading some from 89 to 96?
Yes. Excuse me. Your word, Lord, this is from the Common English Bible, stands firm in heaven forever. Your faithfulness extends from one generation to the next. You set the earth firmly in place, and it is still there. Your rules endure to this day because everything serves you. If your instruction hadn't been my delight, I would have died because of my suffering. I will never forget your precepts, because through them you gave me life again. I'm yours. Save me, because I pursued your precept. The wicked wait for me, wanting to kill me, but I'm studying your laws. I've seen that everything, no matter how perfect, has a limit, but your commandment is boundless.
Aaron, would you mind reading the next through 104?
Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey is to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
And I'll read here, starting in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Eternal, according to your word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Eternal, and teach me your ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Tom, would you mind picking up in 113?
I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Go away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live. And let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you count as dross. Therefore, I love your decrees. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments.
Lindsay, would you mind reading 121 through 128?
I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors, but surely for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way.
Gary, would you mind reading 129 through 136?
Okay. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth wide, panted, for I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, after your manner, with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law.
Sharon, would you pick up after that?
O Lord, you are righteous, and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and that is why I love them so much. I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live.
Bill, would you mind reading 145 to 152?
I cry out with all my heart, Lord, answer me so I can guard your statutes. I cry out to you, save me so I can keep your laws. I meet the pre-dawn light and cry for help. I wait for your promise. My eyes encounter each hour of the night as I think about your word. Listen to my voice according to your faithful love. Lord, make me live again according to your justice. The people who love to plot wicked schemes are nearby, but they are so far from your instruction. But you, Lord, are nearby too, and all your commandments are true. Long ago I learned from your laws that you had established them forever.
Rick, would you mind doing 153 to 160?
Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever.
Eileen, would you mind reading 161 through 168?
Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you.
Lori, would you finish off the chapter?
Let my cry come near you, O Lord. Give me wisdom according to your word. Let my prayer come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise when you have taught me your law. My tongue shall speak your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your law. I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your servant help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
It's amazing what we just read in the longest psalm in the longest book. I mean, that was David pouring out his thoughts on the state of the world, things going on around us, and what's happening when the world is evil and doesn't make sense. And at the end, it turns back to that we have to trust God, that He is on His throne and He knows what's going on, and that He doesn't look at things the way we do. That's just the way it is. Unless somebody has another psalm that they share, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have one? Because what I would like to do is finish with a prayer that Paul wrote on behalf of all of us. But does somebody have a psalm that they... Rick?
Church, Eileen said, why don't we read a psalm and a proverb every day? And I've been doing that now for more than 41 years. So I've been through the book of Psalms dozens of times. And I think based on what you've said today and based on what's happening within the world of the brethren, Church of God, what's happening in our nation and world, I think one psalm to really keep in mind through all of this is Psalm 91. There have actually been countless books written about that one psalm. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it.
Sure.
Psalm 91 in the New King James. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Anyone else? Eileen?
Regarding salvation, I did read a book, Psalm 91, and it does say that salvation is not just the end of everything and you rise up and have eternal life. It's also every day of our life. We can have salvation in our health, in our thinking, in our work, protection, everything. Salvation is everything. All our whole life when we're born till we die and after we die. So it's a long standing item.
Because I think a lot of what I've been getting out of the events that are going on, not only in our nation, but within the body, is that it's not about this life in this body. At the end of the day, we have to have the big picture. The big picture of what God is doing, that all, it's His will that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That He gave His Son for all of mankind. And that the hope that we have is not for this year or next year, it's for that eternity. And it's the reality of what we want so badly versus what God says is the primary focus. And I would like to conclude by reading Paul's prayer. He wrote it in the book of Ephesians, but I think more than ever it applies to us, and that his desire should be the desire of our heart. And I would hope that as we meditate and pray and read and study, it would not be to question the Most High, but to thank Him and to praise Him and to pray for a fulfillment of what Paul's prayer was for us. And it's always struck me how profound this is if we really understood. And again, reading from the New Revised Standard Version, I'm going to start in verse 17 of Ephesians 1. Paul writes, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe according to the working of His great power. God put this power to work in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet and has made Him head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." That's His prayer for us. And that's something that I try and keep in mind, that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened, that we can truly grasp and understand and recognize and be thankful for what God is doing in our lives and in this world, even though tragedies occur, even though such grief is felt, that God is at work and that He would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know Him. And I just encourage us all, keep looking at the big picture, at what God is doing. And it's not that these were good things that have happened. The Bible never says that. But God says, "I can make good come out of them." There's a lot of very bad things, a lot of very tragic things, a lot of very, we don't know why this is happening things. But God says, not that they were good, but that I will make good come out of them. And I would hope that our prayers, our thoughts, our hearts, our desires will be to praise our God and to thank Him, that we will enter His courts with praise and enter His gates with thanksgiving. That when we come before Him, it's not to say, "What are you doing?" but to thank you for what you are doing. And this prayer, I encourage you to read this often, because I go back to this time and time again, that's what Paul wanted for us. That's what God wants for us. It's about you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power? It's an awesome thing to keep in mind. It's just something I ask for me, for you, that we pray for each other, that we continue to pray for the Coxes, for Ryan and Kristen. But the sad thing is, in this world, they are not alone. There are countless tragedies going on even while we've been meeting here. It's the world we live in. It's the enemy that is at work. It's the sin of man that's cut him off. And yet God says, just trust me. I got a plan. You're part of it. And it's going to be more than you can comprehend. But you just have to trust me. And I think He says you have to praise Him and thank Him and acknowledge that He is not like us. And I thank God for that He is not like us. That He's so far above us. So it's a supernatural power, and it's a supernatural love, and it's a supernatural plan, and it's a supernatural investment in our future. And that He is not brought down to our level. And He has an incredible plan. So that's all I have for today. Anybody had any final thoughts or verses to read? Otherwise, we can... Gary.
Paul tells us that life is like a vapor, and we seldom can comprehend the idea that even a full life of 80 or 90 years is not even a drop in a bucket of eternity. So we're here to do His bidding and His will, and it probably would be a lot easier life if we died. I don't know.
Also, sometimes someone once told me that when something's happening to you, it may not be because you deserved it. If it's something bad, like what happened to Ryan and Kristen, but it may be for somebody who's looking on the situation. Just like Jesus, He died and suffered so much, we just can't imagine doing what He did. And He didn't deserve it, and yet it was for all us onlookers that He did it, and to have eternal life and everything. So sometimes these things happen for somebody else's benefit. Hard to figure, but that, because we're all supposed to suffer like Jesus did. And that is the way that we're suffering, different things that happen to us.
That's the end of the day. Are we going to respond with faith and acknowledgement that God is sovereign and He knows what He's doing? And I think of Job. God said, when you can answer these questions, then I'll report to you. But until you can answer the questions that I ask, I'm God, I'm sovereign, and I know what I'm doing.
I also think that was a mistake from the very beginning, when you think about that trust. that Adam and Eve made. God told them about the knowledge of the two trees. They didn't trust his word that what he said was correct. So it's been part of human nature from day one, lack of trust. So where are we in the whole scheme of things as far as trust goes?